Welcome back on Fab 94.3, a special presentation of Sports Radio 1290, live on Fab 94.3. This is a special edition of the Hustler and Lawless Show featuring the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I am Drew Mindell, host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. My father, Sheldon Mindell, has made a special appearance here, so you know it's got to be a big day if my father is willing to be seen in public with me. Joined around the table by Ezra Ginsberg, Rich Wallach, Michael Remus is on air and operating the R-Desk at www.illegalcurve.com. At Illegal Curve is on Twitter if you want to reach him there. It's an exciting day here. Oh, he looks like he's coming on air. Sheldon Mindell, man about town of Winnipeg. How are you feeling? You were a season ticket holder with the Winnipeg Jets for a number of years.
I sure was. I think that's how you got your first involved in hockey.
Yes, I think your wife said she didn't want to spend enough time with you at the game, so that's how you ended up taking me instead.
Well, and this is the result.
And this is the result, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So are you ponying up? Are you going to dig in deep and try and buy a season ticket on Saturday afternoon?
I can tell you that Rumors Comedy Club is planning to be the first corporate supporter. We're going to buy a couple of season tickets.
Well, isn't that fabulous? Already on board. You're going to go knock on the doors next door at the MTS Center, see if they'll take your money already.
Well, no, I'm sure we don't want to jump in front of anybody else. We hope that there'll be two seats for Rumors Comedy Club, and we'll be pleased to make the long-term commitment. Winnipeggers have made a long-term commitment to us. We're prepared to make a long-term commitment back to them.
Isn't that nice? The corporate community giving back to one another. A wonderful experience shared by my father, Sheldon Mindell. We're joined. We're live at Tavern United. It is filling up really quickly here. It's a great atmosphere. Everywhere you look is Winnipeg Jets jerseys. Dad, thank you. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
A pleasure to... And you see, you came live on air this time, so we didn't have to yell at you to turn your radio down.
Drew, before you go,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you how you think Drew's done so far, because, I mean, Drew's been on the air now for 8 hours.
Every time my son makes me proud all the time. His voice sounds like it's going.
No, I'm going strong.
He's going strong?
Yeah, no worries.
And it was interesting. I hear he's got a fiance.
Yeah. Good line, Dad.
Last to know. Okay.
Yeah, good line.
Last to know.
Thanks for joining us, Dad.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
780-9430. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-9430. We want to hear from you. You know, are you going to be buying season tickets? Who do you think the first opponent for the Jets should be? You know, all those sort of questions. What do you think the team name should be? I just assumed it was going to be Jets. It's not necessarily going to be that.
Well, you know, Drew, it's hard to talk with a placeholder. We say it's harder to say Winnipeg's NHL team or the Winnipeg franchise. It's just a lot easier to say Jets. It kind of just rolls off the tongue.
You know, I'm programmed to want to say Jets. And I know I'm jumping ahead of time saying that, you know, because it might not be the Jets. But I'm just programmed to say hockey, Winnipeg, Jets.
Drew, you know what? A lot of people, after the announcement was made, were talking about how Mark Chipman and True North didn't announce the name and how that might be a negative thing. But let's be honest, that wasn't their priority at this point. The priority was getting the deal with Atlanta Spirit done. And you have to think, and we've talked about this before, you have to think that True North knows that the fans of Winnipeg, the people of Winnipeg, want that Jets name. And it might happen, it might not, and we'll know in a bit.
We'll know
in 3 weeks.
We don't know when we're going to know. But the beauty is, it's their right to decide the team name. You pony up, and you get to decide the team name. That's the privilege that they have. But you know, we're sitting around here, and it's now going on about 8 hours or so since the press conference began. And there's no lessening of the excitement in this room. If anything, it's the excitement is getting stronger. The buzz is palpable everywhere you look. Solani jerseys, people in Jets hats, people talking hockey, and and they're not talking hockey about a team in another city. They're talking hockey about our team, and it's that ability to say our team that makes this a different day from every other day.
It is, and that's just it, Drew. It's a different day than every other day. And they asked me when I was on the Richard Brown show in Regina in Saskatoon, the question was, is this the greatest day in Winnipeg sports history? That's a very good question, I said. It may be. I mean, we don't have a story in the history of, say, the Oilers and Eskimos of the 80s like Edmonton does. We won some great cups. We won some AFCO cups. So maybe not the greatest, but maybe the greatest. This means so much to so many people.
But Richie, I don't think it's too early to say that, because when you think about the greatest days in sports history, specifically, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, you think of the day that Bobby Hull was signed at Portage in Maine, right, or the day that Dale Hawerchuk was signed at Portage in Maine. Yeah. And this day is the culmination of so many years, and specifically as it relates to the Atlanta Thrashers coming back weeks. But nobody's going to forget where they were today. Nobody's going to forget where they were today and who they
were
beside.
Least of all us. Did you ever think that we'd be here, we're doing this right now?
Something.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, obviously when the team left in 96, we weren't in a position we were going to do this. But when we started the show, you know, formerly on a college station and now on Sports Radio 1290 for the last number of months, this has been the day that's been in mind.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, you don't want to get your hopes up, but you do get your hopes up. It's something that I always thought was going to happen. I had a positive view of what this city could do, what Mr. Chipman and Thompson could do. And yeah, this is something special, Drew. And this is, you look at a vision, it doesn't stop here, but this is certainly on the train track.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We looks like we have Doobie calling on line one. Doobie, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hello?
Hi. Doobie, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing? What's on your mind? How are you feeling today?
I'm traveling this Red Bull party rig from Vancouver, heading to Winnipeg to join the party. I thought I'd call in because I got a pretty legendary story of the most famous paper boy in River Heights, also known as Hustler.
So make sure it's appropriate for the radio.
My house on a daily basis. I'd catch up to him about what's going on in the sport until I was walking home one day. I looked to my right, and there's poor Hustler in his car crying like you wouldn't believe that we just found out the Jets had left. I hop in the car with him, put my arm around his shoulder. Thought, I can't have Hustler, be this upset. Well, I just wanted to call in and let Winnipeg and Hustler know he can wipe the tears away because the Jets are back, baby!
Great call, Doobie. Thanks for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I can't fault Hustler. I mean, I'd love to be able to bust on him for that, but I was the same guy crying there.
You can't bust him one. Second of all, he worked for the team.
What?
So when they left.
That's right. Yeah, of course.
He lost the job.
Too. Yeah, he lost the job. I mean, there was certainly more to it at that point in time. But, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was at the Winnipeg Arena, and there were tears coming down my face.
Drew, Hustler was here, obviously, earlier doing the Hustler and Lawless show.
I think he's still around here somewhere,
maybe. And he was at the MTS Center and interviewing Gary Bettman earlier. But you know what? A part of this, the magic of this night is all of the personalities and the people of Winnipeg. Because let's be honest, Winnipeg is a small community, and you've got guys like Dancing Gabe, who is a local legend.
Dancing Gabe was here earlier in the day.
And this is what it's all about. It's about how all of the people that stuck by the Winnipeg Jets and our city and stuck by the faraway dream that one day we would get an NHL team back. And you know what? Everyone's rocked those jerseys in other cities. And, we never knew that it was going to happen, but we kind of thought, you know what? If any city is going to get an NHL team back, it's going to be us. So it's really awesome. Doobie, great call. It's awesome that we're able to feel good about certain individuals as well, in addition, Drew, to the entire city who's celebrating tonight. Entire province, I should
say. That's right.
Because the team will probably be called the Manitoba Jets, hopefully.
Let's go back. We got an email, info@illegalcurve.com, from James in Minneapolis. James is, I'll paraphrase this. He's talking about the team name. He's in Minneapolis, and he goes to a lot of Minnesota Wild games. Like Winnipeg, Minneapolis lost their team and then got another one back. Minnesota has had their new team for over 10 years now, and sometimes it seems like there are more North Stars jerseys than Wild jerseys. Still, I've talked to some guys about it, and they obviously love hockey, love the fact that their town has a team again, and supports that team. But they say they'll never wear anything but a North Stars jersey to a game. In essence, they've had a new team for over 10 years, and they still want their North Stars back. Let this new team be the Jets. I can't disagree with that assessment. It seems like a pretty good It seems like a pretty good assessment of the situation.
Can't disagree with that, can you?
Nope. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug Joy, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. How are you this evening?
I'm good. You know, I just got off the air at 6 o'clock at Fab, and I've been listening to you guys for a while. I'm really excited that you've had an opportunity to come on to Fab with Sports Radio 1290 and just talk about the excitement here in the city. And, guys, there's a few things that I just wanted to get across to the audience that's listening and to yourselves, and that's, there's many ways to go about a new team here in Winnipeg, a name of it. You can keep the Winnipeg Jets. We all know that the group with the Manitoba Moose, this is a kind of a marketing thing that they would like to try to incorporate a provincial name with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I was looking at something like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and how they marketed that for not only Anaheim, but for the L.A. market as well to try and gain a bigger share with that. So, you know, something like the Manitoba Jets or the Winnipeg Jets of Manitoba, I think, would roll pretty nicely here in the province as well. I know the logo might change a little bit with that, but at least you could incorporate both the names with that.
That's a great point. Again, we appreciate you calling in, and I mean, but yeah, that actually makes a perfect amount of sense to me. That's the first time I've heard it suggested also, so that's a really good point, Doug. We appreciate that.
Well, something like that, and, you know, something that wouldn't, you know, if you're not going to call them the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to have to come up with something that not only Winnipeggers but Manitobans embrace as well. And, you know, I was thinking of something like the Manitoba Icemen, something that's marketable, something that you could use, like, tangible as well, like ice that you could promote with that. So I think that that's what Mark Chipman and the group need to sit down and really investigate that before you want to go with retro and go back to the Winnipeg Jets. I'm sure that a lot of people are happy with that. The other thing is with season ticket sales here, you know, we've had a few people, and there's always going to be naysayers about this that come on and they say, well, I don't know if Winnipeg can afford that. It might be good for the first couple of years. You have to understand that when the Jets left here in 96, if you were somebody that was 14, 15 years old, you know the pain. You felt that pain, and you were somebody that you couldn't afford a ticket to a game, not only season tickets, but just a ticket to a hockey game back then. So if you were 14 or 15, all the way up to age 25, these are folks now that are in their 30s and 40s. They're not in high school anymore. They're not at their first job. They're people that are established and that have money. And they know the pain that the city has gone through when they left the Jets. The Jets left the city. Now that they're back, that an NHL franchise is back here, I think they would be more than willing to give up a few thousand dollars a year for season tickets to embrace this hockey club again. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Doug. Doug Joy, you hear him weekdays on Fab 94.3, making a special appearance here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290's special presentation. 94.3. That's a mouthful.
Excellent call. Excellent.
That's
call.
A mouthful.
I mean, that was an excellent call. That was a lot of good points went into that.
Yeah, you know, and you could hear the emotion in Doug's voice. You know, that's a guy who's thought about it. I mean, you know, he's been there. He's lived in the city. You know, we were all those teenagers that he was talking about. That, you know, right. 15 years ago, we couldn't afford our own season tickets. Now we're now in the position where we've advanced in life to be at that point.
Guys, it's a thing conversation. Because as I understand it, any sort of merchandise sales that the NHL gets is divided up 30 ways, is it not? Amongst the league?
Sure.
I think that's
a good question. I don't know.
I don't think that.
You think it just goes in all in one?
Yeah, I think it's all in one slice, and it gets divvied up 30 ways. So
I think
anybody who pulls out the it's another revenue stream for True North argument. I'm not, at this point, 100% sure that that's an accurate argument.
We're going to check
in on that. I assume it's percentage.
Yeah.
So the team gets a percentage, the league gets a percentage.
So whatever we sell on the new name, if there is a new name, or if there isn't a new name and there's a new logo, there's a significant portion of our money that's going to actually go, if you can believe it or not, to places like Phoenix and Miami and stuff like that. So I'm not sure that the team name is as much a financial consideration for us here in Winnipeg as it is an emotional consideration here in Winnipeg. So I don't know if that maybe plays into what True North's decision ultimately is as far as the name of the team is concerned. It might be something to think about.
I also don't like to hear, you know, that the history of the Jets is not a great history. And I mean, we've talked about it on the show for many weeks now. They played in a very tough division for those 80s, in the 80s with Edmonton and Calgary. Something like that would be negated by the balanced schedule that you play today with more teams. You wouldn't play as many good teams, not have to go through a division in the playoffs. And you had a history of a couple AFCO Cups, success in the WHA, and a lot of superstars. So I think the history is far better than people make it out to be in some senses.
From 1983 through till 1990, the road out of the Smythe division led through the Stanley Cup, either champion or finalist.
Yeah.
Edmonton or Calgary were in the final from 83 until 1990.
That's
so
right.
You're absolutely right. It was a very, and then realignment only came a couple of years after that. So, maybe the NHL thing wasn't as successful as the WHA was for us here in Winnipeg. But, I mean, can you blame us? We had to deal with Gretzky and those guys year after year.
One of our buddies on Twitter, on BlackBerry Messenger here, sent us a message saying that you're right about how the jersey and merchandise sales are divided. Okay. Pool together all 30 and then divide into 30.
Well, so again, that's another good point, Jay, and that's interesting because that changes things.
Yeah.
It doesn't change how you're going to market necessarily.
But it's not a revenue stream directly back to the team.
But anybody now who argues, okay, you can't go with the Jets because nobody's going to buy the jerseys and they're not going to make any money off
good
it,
point.
That's an inaccurate argument.
That's right.
At this point.
That argument falls by the wayside. There's been plenty of misinformation out there, so we're going to do our best to clarify any of the misnomers that may exist. Let's head to commercial break. You're listening. Well, I'm going to let the Go Jets go.
Let it breathe, baby. Yeah.
Go Jets, go. Go Jets, go.
Go Jets, go.
Oh. Thank you very much.
It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Fab 943.
Welcome back to Tavern United in downtown Winnipeg. Next to the MTS Center where the NHL's returning team is going to play in Winnipeg. That was a jumbled mouthful that made no sense.
I got what you were trying to say.
Thank you. You figured it out?
We're
Anyways,
good.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, a special edition of the Hustler and Lawless Show here on a special edition of Sports Radio 1290 on Fab 94.3. That's a lot of special editions right
there. Yeah, very is.
I know. We want to hear from you. It's an exciting day. The NHL has finally returned to Winnipeg. 780-9430. If you're calling from out of town, like many of our callers have been, put a 204 in front of that. 204-780-9430. You know, Jay, who do you want to see as the first team?
Boy, that's a tough question, isn't it?
I mean,
that first team, I think you can put anybody in there, and that's not going to, that's really not going to matter. If you want to talk about emotion, boy. Phoenix.
Well,
I think if you were able to find a way to get Phoenix, and I know we're going to be an Eastern Conference team and they're a Western Conference team next year.
I'm not even sure if the Pacific we know that the Pacific Division does because Timu's coming to here. So
yeah, that's right.
Does. That's right.
Maybe the Ducks. Maybe that's it all depends if Timu, I mean, he's a UFA this coming summer, is he not?
Well,
maybe the Flames, maybe the Oilers. And it's funny how any answer I have tends to gravitate towards teams that are in the Western Conference as opposed to the Eastern Conference.
Well, it's sort of going to be weird for us to wrap our heads around.
It really
this.
Is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, but wouldn't you like to see maybe Winnipeg against Toronto Hockey Night in Canada for the first weekend, or is that not something you're interested in?
Certainly interested in it.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly interested in it. Don't get me wrong.
Can you set that up for us?
Yeah. Elliot Friedman, in his column on the CBC website, mentioned something along the lines of, he didn't think, now this is speculation complete and total, he didn't think that the first game in Winnipeg would necessarily be on a Saturday night. He thought they would be on a Sunday night, let's say, and be a special presentation of Hockey Night in Canada. So Winnipeg had the spotlight itself, as opposed to, you know, dividing the CBC loyalties throughout all their different broadcasts on a Saturday night.
Now, will the NHL, I mean, the real question is will the NHL take that sort of thing into consideration? I mean, we can blue sky all we want about what team we'd like to see, but...
You would think so. I mean, teams put in requests all the time.
That's true.
I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, there's no obligation that they have to take them, but you think that, I mean, well, granted, you know, I think we sort of view the NHL with a bit of a glass half empty sort of idea that we think they're going to try and
mess
be negative
up,
towards
yeah.
us. So we'll probably play the game on a Wednesday night with 15 other teams against the Florida Panthers. But, you know.
Remus, your choice is T.O. You think T.O. would be the best?
I don't have to say. I mean, if you want to attract a lot of viewers, I think there's going to be a lot of viewers across Canada regardless. But, I mean, if you want the people in Toronto watching, then maybe Toronto is a good choice.
Well,
I think a Canadian team, I think, would maybe be the best choice.
You know, we're going to see the Leafs and the Habs twice in Winnipeg this coming year.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I mean, you know,
this time around, I don't think we're going to see more Leafs or Habs jerseys in that arena. Like we used to see in the old Winnipeg arena.
Yeah, there was all the Habs fans.
You would see 5,000 Habs and Leafs fans. I don't think that's going to be the case this time.
In the heyday of the Jets, I was still in Manitoba, but I lived 5 hours away from Winnipeg. So going to Jets games often wasn't exactly a choice for me. But I know anytime the Leafs or Habs came to town, there were that contingent of fans in my hometown, in Russell, who decided that they were going to take it upon them to make that trek down to Winnipeg and stay overnight and make it that thing. And you're right, Ezra. I don't know that the Leafs or the Habs coming to town is going to be a bigger draw than any other NHL, at least for the first little bit. I know that blood runs deep. I know if you're a Habs fan or a Leaf fan, I don't know why you'd be a Leaf fan, but you're
a masochist. That's
yeah,
the
exactly.
Reason.
You enjoy suffering, but that runs deep, and you're that kind of fan for life. But we're back. We have more passion than ever. I mean, if you look at the number of Jets jerseys around here, yeah, we're definitely not going to be out jerseyed in our own rink anymore.
And if you're talking about, you know, there's two different things, really. Who would you like to see as a fan of another team, or as far as matchups go, or who do you think the NHL would want as far as the first Jets game drawing a large audience? And
I think it'll be Toronto.
It would probably be Toronto or Montreal. And as far as a fan's perspective, you'd have to think that it would maybe be Winnipeg versus get the rivalry off right off the hop, like whether it's Washington.
But there's not going to be a rivalry. It's a one-year rivalry, so it's sort of a bizarre situation because they're not going to be in the Southeast Division going on next year. It's going to be a one-year thing. So, I mean, let's enjoy that we're going to see Ovechkin three times, and let's enjoy that we're going to get Crosby and Malkin twice. But don't expect it's a one-year anomaly more than anything.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to to manufacture any sort of rivalries with Tampa Bay or Carolina. I mean, those players, especially like the guys who have been there for a while in the Atlanta organization are obviously going to have some animosity towards those players just because familiarity breeds contempt, and they've seen them for an awful lot of games over the next little bit. But as far as a fan's perspective is concerned, if you want symmetry, if you want the best storyline, if you want the first game to be against the team that is going to inspire the most passion and the most emotion, I think it has to be the Phoenix Coyotes.
Are you that passionate about the Phoenix Coyotes?
I hate them. After everything, seriously, after everything
I'm
that
with
we've,
you, Jay. After, I am with you.
After watching our team get ripped away 15 years ago to go to the desert, of all places, which made no sense to me, and after having to endure watching all this crap going on in Glendale with them subsidizing the team, are they coming here, are they not coming here, seeing guys like Belanger and Brizgalov tweet a bunch of smack about the city of Winnipeg.
Worried about what Eric Belanger has to say?
No, we're not worried about it.
I'm not worried about it. I don't care what Eric Belanger
has to say. He's on a one-year contract. He won't even be back with the team. They can't afford him next year, probably.
But if he is there, if Brizgalov is there, I know he's a UFA, you want to talk about that inspires more hatred. You want to talk about a team that inspires more boos when they come on the ice. I don't think you're going to find another team anywhere in the NHL that's better than Phoenix Coyotes.
You know what? I'm going to agree with Jay on that. I remember when they moved and, you know, people in Phoenix really didn't know what hockey was. And the most degrading part about that was watching it on the news, interviewing citizens of Phoenix, and they had no idea what icing was. It was the whole thing was just embarrassing to
they
people in Winnipeg.
They had to give them a glowing puck for crying out loud. A glowing puck!
Hey, they could have used that glowing puck in the Vancouver-San Jose series. The other night.
I'll give you
nobody
that.
Nobody else knew where that puck was.
They were not glowing puck. They couldn't see the glowing puck and had to scrap it because it basically looked like a techno dance video.
Didn't it change the physics of the puck itself when you factored in all of the additional machinery that you needed inside the puck?
I think
what was the reason that they went away from
it? Each puck was more valuable than the entire American TV contract was at the time.
They had to send bouncers into the stands if it ever went out of play.
Pay people to go get the puck.
Go get that from
go get that puck.
And what are you doing? It's warm up. You're throwing
bucks,
that puck into the stands. Get that back from that kid. Come on, guys.
You know,
it's a $50 puck.
It's like the CFL at the turn of 1920 when they only had three footballs and somebody would steal the football and they'd be gone with it.
Or you got to fine a guy for throwing a ball into the stands after a touchdown.
That's right. It was a little bit ridiculous. Look, we could be on the air until 4 a.m. if we want to discuss all the NHL's bad decisions.
Yeah,
That's a long go. 780-9430. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-9430. What team do you want to see play the Winnipeg whatevers for the first game back in Winnipeg? You know, I personally think it's Toronto for myself. I don't think people will cheer Toronto in Winnipeg. I really don't. There's a more I think there's a greater possibility that they would cheer Montreal. I don't think anybody has the hate on for Montreal that they do for Toronto.
There's one right here. So,
are we pointing at the lovely Lindsay right now? Oh yeah, unfortunately.
Chris, can we have Lindsay removed from
the
table?
It's actually there because Lindsay does it, but she's a Leafs fan. Drew, you'd be surprised at how many Leafs fans there are in this city. I'm not one of them.
No, and again, that's an original six thing that runs deep. They're that and Leaf fans and Habs fans especially are the sort of fans that they go down generations, right?
Security, she's holding up a Leafs coaster or something. They got to remove her from the table.
It's a Stanley Cup with a Leafs logo on it.
That's as close as you guys are ever getting to a Stanley Cup over there.
Don't get too used to seeing those two things together anytime soon.
Richard Pollock.
Oh, I'm glad we can talk smack about the Leafs now, aren't you guys?
Hi, Richard. What team do you want to see? What's your team?
First game, Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Yeah.
Undoubtedly?
100%.
100% Phoenix, you say. Okay.
There's a revenge factor there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We're going to get to see eventually once the team moves to the proper division. We'll get to see Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver six times a year, three in our building, three in theirs. But Phoenix is that one game, that one home game that we want to see. And I think if the Pacific Division, which is Solani, is coming here, that means Phoenix is coming here. That's why not make it game one?
Don't you want to? Aren't you anxious to boo Phoenix? Aren't you anxious to boo Belanger and Breeze Galloff?
Yeah, if those guys resign, I am anxious. And the truth is, Jay, it just is a storyline there. I mean, it brings a full circle in a way. Yeah, every game with Minnesota and Dallas is still a passionate game. Like, think about the last game of the season this year. Dallas can win and make the playoffs. Minnesota knocks them out. Was there not something extra in it for the fans, even though Minnesota was out of the playoffs?
How about 2 years ago, that last game where Modano skated around the ice at the XL Energy Center wearing a North Stars jersey?
Yeah. And then played, and is still playing.
And then ended up still playing.
season
for Detroit.
You know what? I'll take it. There's a certain...
I mean, there's a symmetry there, isn't symmetry there?
Look, assume if they re-sign Breeze Galloff, they can't play here until we get some parks, obviously.
That's right.
We have no parks.
We have no parks.
Now got the team, our priority has to be getting the parks that are missing, you know. It's a real tragedy that we have in the city.
Of parks, Drew. We have a lot of parks in the city.
Drew, one thing though, that has to be also pointed out is, for the negative comments, and there weren't many, by the way, there were only a couple, and they always, you know, gather more spotlight around the negative comments for whatever reason. There's been an amazing amount of positive comments about this city, whether it be from the newest players of the team coming to Winnipeg or from other players around the league, players who've played here, players just love watching Matt Duchene, love watching the Jets when he
That's
grew
right.
up.
Matt Duchene with a very positive tweet saying that
The sentiment is overly positive as far as I can tell.
Very, very good question. What other tweets have you guys seen today from players from Atlanta who are coming to Peg?
I'll let Drew speak for a second, but I have completely stayed off of Twitter. To me, I want to live in the moment.
Yeah.
To me, there's probably a lot of good tweets there, and Drew will probably read a couple. Getting back to what Richard said, you don't really hear anything negative from players aside from what we were hearing from Phoenix Coyotes players. Winnipeg is a hockey town. It always has been. We have produced so many good hockey players. We have produced so many good hockey teams. And I think that for anyone for a second to think that the Atlanta Thrashers aren't all ecstatic to come here. These guys are going to be rock stars.
Here's Evander Kane. Here's Evander Kane.
Here we go. Here's with Twitter.
Evander Kane. For all the Jets fans, I'm on board with keeping the Jets name and logo. Just wanted to throw it out there. Said some very nice things about Thrashers fans before that.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Across the board, it seems like it's been a very classy response from fans in Winnipeg. There has not been, as far as I can see, you know, there's been no mocking of the Atlanta fan, and there's no reason to mock them. There really is. You know, we're thrilled that our team is back, but we don't take any joy in their suffering.
Absolutely
for those
not.
For those Thrashers fans that do exist, they're upset.
And they should be.
Yeah.
We were upset,
and there was more of us. But there's no reason why, you know, if you fell in love with that team or you fell in love with that sport. Also, the people who lost their jobs. There's no laughing matter about people who lose their jobs.
You're right.
And you know, that is certainly an unpleasant side of business. But I'm not talking about the Rick Dudleys of the world so much, because they're gonna they get a nice golden parachute. I'm talking about the front, the season ticket sellers in Atlanta.
No, you're right.
The clubhouse guys, those guys, sort of the behind the scenes people you don't always see. You know, it's a sad day. You know, for some it's joyful, and for some it's sad, and that's just sort of the way the world is, unfortunately.
TSN reporting, by the way, that Don Waddell says he's not coming. Not coming.
Dear God, thank you. Let me go on the record here, Jay, and say I don't want mean to, you know, put Don Waddell in a bad light, but I'm going to have to be completely honest here. Don Waddell's mismanagement of that organization played a significant factor in them leaving. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, Don Waddell's a respected hockey man. Don't get me wrong. He was in the Detroit organization before going to Atlanta. But whether it be through poor draft picks, improper use of the salary cap, there's many, many, many errors that he committed along the way. And as for the positive moves he made, like signing a Maxim Finneganov for a year that worked out, he had probably 2 to 3 negative moves. And
that trade,
very, it seems like a nicest guy as you're going to come across, but he mismanaged that organization. And if I heard he was coming with... I would be pretty scared.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's not coming with, and it's not because he's been fabulous at his job. Let's go back to the phone line. Stevie from New York is going to join us on the line.
No kidding.
Steve, welcome. You're calling from New York. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Drew, it's great to be on. You know, I'm sitting at my desk right now with my Winnipeg Jets puck and my 85-86 Safeway team calendar. There's no place rather be than with you guys right now. Like, can't, but listening in is the next best thing. You guys are doing a great job. Your show's been great since you came on air, and I really can't wait to see where you go next now that we actually have a team in the city.
Well, we're going to be covering the story. That's where we're going.
When you guys made this point a few minutes ago, I think you really hit the nail on the head. That it's just great for the kids in the city. You now have a team to root for. You don't have to wear another team's jersey. You'll get a lot of guys calling in, and we're all talking about the memories we had growing up of the team. But the greatest thing is all these kids now who are going to have those same memories that are really going to last a lifetime. Because, you know, I can't remember what I had for breakfast today. And I can't remember what I did 2 weekends ago. But I can tell you exactly where my mom dropped my friend Richard and I off for Game 3 of the 96 series against Detroit. I can tell you exactly where we sat, how many pucks we caught in the warm-up, what I wrote on the sign for my sister on a piece of paper that I held up and magically made it on NBC. I can tell you what it was like being in an arena so loud that you couldn't hear the person next to you screaming in your ear. And that's the best part about this. It's the new memories that we're all going to have.
You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right.
Great reminiscence there, Stevie. Well, thank you very much for calling from New York. We appreciate it very much.
And that very game that I went to, Stevie, I remember who scored for the Jets and who scored for the Red Wings and how they scored. And the puck that we caught in warm-up off Chad Kilger's stick.
Too bad it wasn't Timu's stick.
And where we were sitting, I remember my dad picking us up, his mom dropping us up, and my dad picking us up. And my dad, season ticket holder for 25 years, didn't have it for the last season. And he came into the arena, snuck into the arena to pick us up for the last 5 minutes. He said it was as loud as he'd ever heard the arena in his 26 years of fandom of the Winnipeg Jets. So.
Well, the passion had certainly never was diminished. There were other factors, and that's what affected it. Stevie, thanks for the call.
Great call.
If you want to call in like Stevie did, 780-9430. If you're calling from out of town like many of our callers this evening, 204-780-9430. We want to hear your memories. What's your best memory of your time as a Winnipeg Jet fan? What are you looking forward to most as a Manitoba Jet fan? Let's call it that way.
Drew, I want to bring something up right now.
You hear...
Are they chanting? Bring back the trough.
That's what they are chanting.
That's fantastic.
How amazing! First off, it's going to be amazing to actually hear how loud the MTS Center.
Oh my God! I know.
Winnipeg Jets game, but I can't. Let's imagine for a second if we make the playoffs in the first year, and we have the first ever whiteout at the MTS Center.
Yeah.
How amazing is that going to be?
You know what?
The question is, if Phoenix makes the playoffs that year also, are they going to have a whiteout?
We own it.
It won't even come close. Well, we do.
Well, we know that, but are they going to have the statistical fortitude to try and pull it off?
During the first year that I was fortunate enough to work for the Manitoba Moose, it was the lockout year, and a lot of people were frustrated with the NHL, and a lot of people poured their hockey passion into the AHL, and specifically the Manitoba Moose playoff run that year. And the Moose made it to the second round and put out Rochester, who had finished in first place in the North Division that year. And the fifth game at home in Winnipeg was a complete sellout, 15,000 people. I had an opportunity to say last minute of play in the third period, and the place went absolutely insane. And if what we do here with the NHL is even a fraction of the passion that was displayed that day, it's going to send shivers down everybody's spine. It's going to be an amazing, amazing playoffs if we ever make it
there. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hartley, you're calling into the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hartley, how are you doing this evening?
Good. First time caller.
Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
You know, I was really, really disappointed with Gary Bettman when he sold the Jets. Extremely disappointed. You know, we had a good hockey club. You know, when they sold the Jets and then built the arena, that's what was really the disappointing part. I think everybody was devastated. But I'm glad the Jets are coming back. I hope that we can make that mark with the 13,000 and keep Jets.
Yeah, Hartley. Thanks for the call, Hartley.
I think everybody thinks we can hit that 13,000.
I don't think it's going to be in. I don't think it's going to take much effort. I mean, I might be a little.
Not much effort, just a lot of money.
Well, of course, we know it's going to take money. That's not a surprise.
And the tickets are on your tab, like tonight's on your tab, Drew. I'm in.
Yeah. Of course you'd be. Of course you would be.
Yeah,
a big sod lawyer like yourself.
Yeah. I think your tab is going to cost as much as the best tickets.
I already canceled your portion off the tab there. You're on your own there, buddy.
That's going to cut it by at least 75%.
Yeah, exactly. 780-9430. If you're calling from out of town, 204-780-9430. You know, the crowd here at Tavern United is just getting bigger and bigger and louder, and the chants are just popping up. We heard "Go Jets, go!" We've heard "We want the trough." I've heard "We want the cup" before. Never "We want the trough." I mean, you know, I'm not sure that really factors in there so much.
They're not getting the trough at the MTS Center, so.
And you know, I gotta say, I'm not that upset. I had the pleasure, quote unquote, to use the trough at the old Winnipeg Stadium this past weekend, and it's a good thing we got a new arena because we definitely need a new stadium as well.
Yeah, this city's moving in the right direction. We have a new stadium coming for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the University of Manitoba Bisons, and we have the NHL coming back here. Winnipeg is moving places, and for all the doubters and all those years that didn't think we could get a new stadium or we could get a new arena or we could get NHL hockey back, I mean, they've been proven wrong.
Well, you know, the doubters, yeah. It depends on what sort of generation of the doubters you're talking about, Richard. Are you talking about the doubters in 96, or are you talking about the doubters in the last five years?
I'm talking about all doubters, Drew.
In 1996, and it's taken me a decade to come around to this realization, in 1996, I could no longer afford NHL hockey with the current situation in Winnipeg. There was no arena that was on the horizon to be built.
Proposals that fell through.
I don't fully believe Gary Bettman's comment that there was nobody that wanted to own the team. I believe there may have been nobody that wanted to own the team without getting a new stadium or a new arena built. That I believe. But there must have been plenty of people who wanted to own the team.
And the truth is, Drew, he didn't fight for it. Didn't fight for Winnipeg as he fought for Phoenix this year, as he's fought for Atlanta. He didn't. I mean, the team's been for sale for 5 years. So Gary Bettman comes out, whatever he says, as Michael said earlier, most of it is garbage. It's true. Most of it's garbage. I mean, he has to say a lot of it because he's commissioner, but he's not as polished as David Stern. His mentor, what it appears, that he was his mentor. And you're right. He is not that.
David Stern could be robbing you at gunpoint, and you'd think you were willingly giving over your wallet. And Gary Bettman, he comes off as a snake oil salesman. He really does. You think that over, I mean, how many years has he been a commissioner now?
Three, I believe.
Yeah, almost 2 decades.
Years. Yeah.
You think he would have been better at that? You think he would have gone over that sort of, slimy persona that people still have?
And by the way, I mean, Bettman made light of the lockout in a recent ESPN book that was published about how he could cause the team to cause the league to shut down for a year. Well, the NBA players are in for something because David Stern's far more smooth and probably brighter than Gary Bettman and is going to have his way with the NBA players. So
yeah,
and it probably not cost him a whole season. So he's cost the NHL a number of levels.
I thought that was a very telling quote that Gary Bettman uttered.
Sure
it's in the new ESPN book that came out last week. He was proud that he took away the Stanley Cup Finals that one season, took away the season. I mean, did they achieve something? Sure, they got a hard salary cap. Should you ever be proud that your league has to shut down for a year? That's something you should be boasting about to the biggest player in television?
Absolutely not. You should not be proud about that because it was an absolutely horrible time for hockey fans. But the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, the NHL did win the lockout by getting a hard salary cap, and the owners have given him...
Do you feel...
Absolute, 100%.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the NHL would be returning to Winnipeg today without a hard salary cap in place?
No,
if there wasn't a hard salary cap?
Absolutely.
Do you think
not.
There's any correlation there?
Between...
If there was a hard salary today, do you think the NHL would be returning to Winnipeg?
Probably not. And probably the reason that they wouldn't be coming back is because if there was no floor of the salary cap, teams like Phoenix and Atlanta would be probably spending $20 million on their rosters.
So Winnipeg could be back regardless of the hard salary cap.
Yes and no.
I mean,
that would require more analysis.
I know it's not a simple question like that, but I mean, what was the highest spending team, before these?
I believe we're talking $7 million. Yeah. Now we're at what, 62.2 was Larry Brooks rumored to be the salary cap a couple weeks ago. I mean, we're still talking $18 million less. Basically 7 years down the road.
Yeah, and before the lockout, the highest spending teams were the New York Rangers and the Toronto
Detroit.
Maple Leafs,
right.
And Detroit.
Yeah, and the Rangers spent it foolishly, of course.
And Drew, back to the point of Gary Bettman's appearance here, he didn't handle it well. Regardless of how he handled the negotiations and how he basically announced them to the public, he could have probably picked the way he appeared or the words he chose better, and he didn't because it is unfortunately
because I think he's a small man. Look, even if you're not thrilled to be back in Winnipeg, you have a city that is over the
moon. That's exactly right, Drew.
Fake it. I'm sure I'm not even gonna go there, but fake it. That's all we're asking. Just say we're happy to be here. We think this team will be a success. We need to sell 13,000 season tickets, but it will be a success. Come be a part of this. We're thrilled to be back.
He acted like the Phoenix could work in the market when he spoke to the Glendale City Council.
That's right.
A great actor like that should have been here today.
That's right. Bill Daly could have sold it. I mean, I'm surprised we actually haven't heard from today is Donald Fehr. You have to know that Donald Fehr's got
to
be happy.
I tried actually to get him on the show for Saturday, but the NHL was not. NHLPA spokesperson said to me that because they're not actively involved in the sale, they're not going to comment at this time.
Okay, but I mean, the concept of
more money in the system. Here.
Exactly. If the overall concept of moving revenue poor teams and exchange them for revenue wealthy teams that's going to accordingly drive up the salary cap. So the players have to be happy about this.
That's exactly right.
The ones who aren't happy about it are the ones who don't want to win. If you wanted to stay in Atlanta as a player, at this point in time, that's an indication you didn't want to win as a hockey
Look
player.
Look at Nathan Horton.
Yeah.
Nathan Horton wanted out, right?
That's right.
Why did he want out?
Because he wanted to win.
Look what happened.
He's winning. He's scoring key goals. He's a key component of the Stanley Cup finalists.
There's so many articles coming out. I read about Ron Hainsey today or Dustin Byfuglien, about guys or even Chris Mason, who we had on the show earlier, who are excited to come to a city where there's fans, where they're going to be cheered, where they're going to be in the spotlight, where it really, gives them additional meaning to being a hockey player.
And Reem, unfortunately, these teams like Atlanta and Florida have not ever had a winner, and good players have developed losing habits.
Bad habits, yes.
And Nathan Horton is a great example, Richie. You nailed it.
Yeah,
showing us he's a better hockey player than he was in Florida.
It's hard to show up.
Your people, I always like to compare it to your life. If you were to go play a hockey game today and nobody watches, how do you play? Are you more accountable if you go to a game and 400 people are watching? Of course you're more accountable because you take into account what people are thinking of you. You are a human being.
That's right. And you can't tell me that, Atlanta had a very solid start to the season last year, then they had a late season swoon. And
it was more of a December, January swoon, I believe.
Okay, whatever. I refuse to believe that part of it doesn't come from the fact that they show up to the arena night in and night out when they're playing a home game, and they might as, and it seems like there's been a bomb threat
in Canada. Every game is a Stanley Cup Finals. Every single game is the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's not there.
That's
you're
right. You're gonna have, you have, I mean, in Winnipeg alone, you're gonna have, you have two newspapers covering the game. You know, they're each gonna have two people there. We're gonna be covering the games. You know, we're gonna be covering them in depth. I mean, and we're not, you know, the analysis and the responsibility is going to be so much more intense in Winnipeg.
Drew, can we talk about the fact that Trudeau's announcement today, that press room, felt like that was the White House?
Yeah, it did.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. There were that room, I didn't even know that room existed, but that announcement was, it was historic, but it was palpable. You could feel the excitement of the journalists and the broadcasters in that room. And you're right. These players are going to be scrutinized and interviewed way more than they would ever have been in Atlanta, and that's just the way it is. We're back in the NHL, and Winnipeg is going to be no different than Toronto or Montreal.
That's right. Coverage is going to be intense, and the players know that.
We're going to want to know if Dustin Byfuglien has changed his skates or his gloves.
That's right.
We're going to want to know every minute detail of these guys, because we're going to support them and want them to succeed.
And the truth is, and they're going to get, when they play poorly, they're going to get criticized.
Yep.
But when they play well, they are going to dominate the city. They will be king amongst men. They will walk into a bar and never have to pay for a drink. In Atlanta, they walked into a bar and they were carded. That's the difference. That's the difference. And with that comes responsibility. And that responsibility is showing up in front of the media night in and night out, accounting for your poor games. And we're not unreasonable people in the city. If you have a bad game, you're a human being, you're going to have a bad game. But you're going to need to account for it, and you're going to need to tell us why, and you're going to need to make it sure that it's not a reoccurring habit. That's the difference.
And that's good, because it holds people accountable, and it probably means a better product on the
ice. The truth is, a lot of these guys came up from, you know, high-level programs, where they play junior or wherever they play. They've been used to being held accountable. You know, having free reign and not having anybody care is an anomaly for these guys. They've been in the spotlight.
They're star in their whole life. Star in college, star in high school, star in Adams, star in Bantam. You're right. Spotlight really isn't anything that they haven't faced before. It's when they get adjusted to the lack of spotlight that is the worrisome issue. But as Nathan Horton has demonstrated as one case, you can certainly turn it right back on.
Yeah,
Star in Oshawa, drafted, I believe, fourth overall right around there to Florida. Years playing in front of dwindling fan bases, now playing in a hockey hotbed like Boston. Albeit not necessarily the attention of maybe Toronto or Montreal. But a lot of attention, and look at how successful he's been.
That's just it. You feed on the moment. You feed on the moment. That's what happens. Is the excitement builds. You want to be the guy who has all the spotlight on him. You want to be the guy who scored the game-winning goal. You want to be the guy who takes your team to the Stanley Cup with his overtime winner. You want that. You crave it. You need it. You want to be on the ice.
Here we talked to Mason earlier, who we've had on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show before, and he basically said that he can't wait to get here. And, I mean, we're not expecting all the NHLers to get here in the next week or two, but you'd expect that a lot of these guys are going to come into their new NHL city a little bit early, because you don't want to just, you know, plop down. These guys have to buy houses.
They have families. They have everything else. They have to get settled in.
And, you know, this is really an exciting time for the city and an exciting time for the team and the players, because, let's be honest, these guys are being given a very nice fresh start in a city,
that's right.
And in an opportunity that's really conducive to success.
You know, great point, Bayezi. Fresh start.
I think they'll like the city. I really do. I think that when the Jets left in '96, there was probably a lot of. It wasn't the greatest city. It was going through a transitional phase. Let's call it that. I mean, I love Winnipeg. I've always loved Winnipeg. But in 1996, it was going through a bit of a transitional phase. It didn't know what kind of city it wanted to be. 15 years later, it's comfortable in its own skin. It's got a great, it's just a great place to raise your family.
Or the Jets?
I'm talking about the Jets. It's a great place to raise your family. You know,
I agree.
There's just so much going on.
You're not going to find four bigger fans of Winnipeg than the four sitting around this table right now.
No, absolutely.
Or hundreds of people in this
bar.
Everybody's very proud to be a Winnipeg right now, right, Drew?
I would hope so.
That's true. There's absolutely an extra.
I was proud to be a Winnipegger before this. I'm more proud to be a Winnipeg.
More proud now. That's
why
right.
Why not?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, actually, this is a funny tweet. We just got a tweet about a team name, the Manitoba Golden Jets.
I like that.
And I just, I don't think it's going to happen. But
no, it's a nice nickname,
tweet.
Though.
And you can always tweet us at Illegal Curve. You know, so and you can always find us at www.legalcurve.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. And you can always send us an email, info@illegalcurve.com. You know, we're down here at Tavern United. We've been here since about 11 o'clock this morning. The party is going strong at the moment. The beer is flowing. The Jets fans are out in full force. And they're talking hockey. And they're talking hockey about their local Winnipeg team, which is a big difference from years past where they'd be talking about some other team.
Sense of Canadian pride here, too, I've noticed.
Yeah. People are happy. The 7th team is back in Canada. Jim Belsilli had nothing to do with it, but maybe he learned a lesson.
Make it seven.
Yeah, make it seven. You know, Jim, I don't think intended for it to be a team that he didn't own.
That's true.
But I think he learned a lesson. I don't think he's going to be able to make it 8, 9, or 10 anytime soon. But I think he's burnt that bridge pretty well for the next little while.
You know, Drew, I got an interesting story. You know, I was at a party in London. I was visiting a friend a few years ago, and I went into I ended up in an apartment with a bunch of guys who are all Leafs fans. Somehow I started bashing the Leafs, and they said to me, "Who's your team?" And my response was, the Winnipeg Jets. And you know what? And now it's amazing that we have our own team to cheer for. It's just the feeling among everyone here at the bar is unbelievable. Everyone is excited.
They're calling for his name right now.
The fans are chanting. Oh, yeah. The fans are chanting for Richard. Yeah.
They obviously heard Richie's interview on Saskatchewan radio earlier today.
I think that's our cue to go to break. I think if they're chanting Richard's name, it's time for us to go to break. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hawk Show. It's a special edition of Sports Radio 1290 live on Fab 94.3. Stay tuned after these commercial messages. We're coming back from Tavern United with much, much more. 20 minutes past 8, we're back on Fab 94.3, a special presentation of Sports Radio 1290's Hustler and Lawless featuring the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That really is a mouthful. I can't get over that. I am host Drew Mindell, joined by Michael Remus, Jay Richardson from The Morning Show with Andrea and Jay on 99.9 Bob FM. Richard Pollock has made it back to join us on air. You know, we're on for another 40 minutes tonight. Let's spend some time going over the roster that we're about to inherit it. Because this is not, you know, usually when you get a franchise, it's an expansion team and there's a few lean years and you sort of have to put up with the team while it gets its growing pains out of its way. This is no expansion team.
No.
This is a dynamic, up-and-coming set of talented potential superstars that are coming to Winnipeg.
Yeah, these guys were in playoff contention about halfway through the season before they fell off the radar, whether that's due to expansion or inexperience, or whether that's due to some people may have indicated that the lack of fan support might have played some sort of, I think we had Chris Mason on who may have said something to that effect. But you're absolutely right. It's a solid young roster. We've got a very high draft pick, 7th overall, coming up at the end of June, which we could use to build. We've got Andrew Ladd, who's an RFA, but has indicated that he might be interested in re-signing with the Winnipeg franchise.
He's not going to have another option.
you've got Dustin Byfuglien, who, if you watched the playoffs last year, you know how instrumental he was in Chicago winning the Stanley Cup. So you've got guys with playoff experience. You've got a solid young core with guys like Evander Kane, who are anxious to get going, and then you've got Rob Schremp.
Yeah, and then you've got Rob Schremp. Richie, there's going to be a large, about a 4,000-word dissertation on www.illegalcurve.com tomorrow, yeah, breaking down the Thrashers roster in exquisite detail. What jumped out at you first and foremost when you were going through the roster?
See, good young base, Drew. I mean, the underlying numbers last year basically placed the Thrashers at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, in the bottom of the league. They allowed too many shots on goal. They improved throughout the year a little bit, but they didn't generate enough offense. The overall numbers weren't great for them, but there's a lot of nice pieces here. And not only is there some cap flexibility, but there's also some youth with that. And that's a nice mix to have the youth and cap flexibility. Now you look at the netminders, and you have Andrej Pavlich, and you have Chris Mason. Pavlich is a young, up-and-coming netminder, I believe 23 years old, athletic. Did have some issues with his conditioning last year, but overall had a skill set to be a netminder. Netminding is very unpredictable, but it's a nice base, and he's at a cheap salary. You have him and Chris Mason, a veteran, a guy who's played in Nashville, St. Louis, and Atlanta. He provides not only a nice locker room element, but a good, solid netminder. So you have a nice base. Again, not a lot of money locked up in him. Look at the defense. The defense is a promising defense. You have Tobias Enstrom, who is, I equate to Teppo Numminen in how good he is, but how nobody knows about him.
Yeah.
And you have Dustin Byfuglien, who needs to improve his defense, needs to start penalty killing. But offensively, he's almost as good as it gets. And he's a great skater. He's physical. Provides a lot of nice elements.
Now, can play forward and defense
absolutely.
As well.
Now,
absolutely.
His defense.
Yeah.
Is that something that it's just going to have to be, it's just going to have to be taught him? He's just going to have to adopt a defensive responsibility mindset? Is that just something?
You could argue that you can't really teach that and that you can. I think you can teach it to an extent. He can improve defensively, I think.
Is that just going to it's going to have to be his personal decision that that's how it's
yeah.
going to happen?
And also, Drew, I mean, you play forward for a lot of years for the most part. I mean, you did play some defense in Chicago. Yeah. You develop habits. So a year or two on defense, you develop habits of defensive habits as opposed to offensive habits. Offensively, he's great. Defense, you know, maybe you can't teach that. Defensively, maybe you can't teach it a little bit, but you can offensively. So you have to be encouraged by him. Now, he's getting paid a big ticket. $5.2 million a year is not cheap. In this market, it's not cheap. In any market, it's not cheap. So he's got to return. He's got to be giving you some kind of return defensively. Offensive defensemen are valuable in this league. More valuable probably than defensive defensemen for the most part.
But you can't pay a guy $5 million right. and not able to play him in all situations.
Now, the wild card, of course, is Zach Bogosian. The potential to be the best player on the team. Can skate, can hit, can move the puck. There were rumors they were trying to trade him last year. I didn't believe those rumors. But this is going to be a fresh start for him. He's an RFA. I talk about his contract situation in that article that you talk about that'll be posted tomorrow. But on the ice, very good player. So that's your top three. Really good base. Now, your bottom three makes too much money. But Ron Hainsey's a nice defenseman.
True.
Johnny Oduya's a nice defenseman. Mark Stewart's a solid defenseman.
Been a big Oduya fan for
yeah.
a long time.
And so you have a nice top six. Now, it's costing you a fortune. So it better be nice. And they were great defensively last year. So, you know, who is that? Whose problem is that? There's a number of factors for that. But I like the talent level. And then offensively, you have Rumbro. Great pieces. Evander Kane's a great piece. Antropov is not great, but he can provide offense.
Solid first line center.
Yeah, he can provide offense. I mean, Brian Little's a guy with great skill in Barrie. He's had, I think, a 30-goal year in Atlanta, but he's inconsistent. Can skate, hit the candle, can shoot for the most part. Needs to up his overall night-to-night consistency, amongst other things. There needs to be some other improvement in terms of maybe passing skills and things like that. Good player. Other players that they have. Andrew Ladd goes to the net. Not the best skater, but he's willing to work. Played in Chicago, has played in Carolina, has two Stanley Cups, captain of the team, can move forward.
He's a winner.
He's a winner. Is he a first-line player? Maybe on some teams he is. Is he for sure a top six? Yes. He's a top six player.
Defensively is all. Andrew
yes.
Ladd is.
That's right.
Good two-way player.
So you have a base of those guys. You add in Burmistrov, a top pick from last year.
He scored him a couple of unbelievable goals.
Yeah. Development played 70 games last year as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. It's
so
only going to get better as he fills out and as he gets stronger and everything.
Then you traded Rich Peverly for, you know, in the trade that also got you Mark Stewart. You get Blake Wheeler. Played for the U.S. in the World Championships. A guy who didn't really improve much in Boston year to year in terms of overall point totals. Has skill. He's very to use his body. Good offensively. Has the potential to be really good. So think about that as your top six base. Now, you need some more forwards there. Probably a right winger. But that's a nice base. Then on lower down, you have Anthony Stewart. Big guy. Can put the puck in a bit. Patrice Cormier, who is unliked by most other teams, but liked by his own teammates.
Got a nasty streak.
Nasty streak.
The kind of guy you want on your team.
Exactly.
Players like that. And that is your base. Think about that, guys. Aside from Antropov, all those guys are under 25.
It's the upside on this roster is really unbelievable. And this is where if you get a really good hockey mind in charge of the team
right.
who can add a couple of really solid draft picks and maybe make an end on the UFA market. And I'm not talking about signing Brad Richards or anything like that.
No,
anytime you've seen, I mean, everybody's talking about the moves that were made by the Tampa Bay Lightning, for example, to get them to the conference final. And there were some really solid moves that really propelled that team into a place where they could compete.
Exactly right.
Looking at as far as the skill set is concerned with the roster that we're getting in here, the youth that we're getting in here as well, you get a couple of depth players, some third line guys, a third line center is really good at faceoffs, some guys who can kill some penalties, some real gritty guys, and I think we can really compete for a playoff spot. Who knows how far we can go?
I love a Scotty Nichol, a guy who's underrated and is a great faceoff guy, as a fourth line center on this team, as a specialty player. Great. Something like that. They could use another top six player. not as expensive as Jay just mentioned, but there's potential there. And as Jay mentioned, you don't need to spend a ton of money. Why ruin your cap flexibility? You're flexible up front. You're flexible on goal in terms of the cap. You need to improve defensively. If they can trade a couple salaries in the back end, they probably will.
If they can. But
they can. But even if they can't, they still have room to spend some money. This team, as long as they don't try and move the rebuilding process too quickly, I feel like if somebody in charge knows what they're doing, this is a nice, again, we talked about it before, this is not an expansion team.
And you're going to get an awful lot of goodwill. I mean, you've often heard about Brian Burke trying to do a role in Toronto, and the market there just cannot, they don't have the patience to wait that long. You need something to happen now.
That's
if
right.
You want to talk about the goodwill that you've built up in this city as far as waiting to get a full quote-unquote rebuild in, you're going to get a little bit more patience here than you will in
Toronto. It's not even a full rebuild that's needed. So
no.
We're not starting from the building blocks. The majority of the building blocks are already in place.
But as I said,
guys, there's going to be some growing pains just to make that next step to become a playoff team.
As I said, if you have 3 to 5 year season ticket commitments, they're locked in for the years where you're rebuilding and moving forward. And when you're really, really good, everybody wants in. And the tickets are up for renewal.
Yeah, absolutely right.
3-4 years from now, they're going to be a long-term. They should be a deep playoff team at that point in time. They should be making some deep runs into the playoffs. So, of course, everybody's going to want to buy in at that point in time. That's very true there.
All right, guys, real quick. If you had to pick a strong point and a weak point about the roster that we're getting in here, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses about this roster?
I think you got to start on the back end. The strength is the defense. It's overpaid, but it's still a strength. I mean, you look at that top six, and that's one of the better top six in the NHL.
I mean, your strength is you're taking away the cap flexibility. Your best talent is probably on the back end. I agree with Drew. But you actually do have strength in all areas. Because it's funny, because the strength on the team is actually the weakness. Too much money on the back end. So that serves as both. But I like the flexibility up front. I mean, I like the combination in goal. I mean, overall talent level, Jay, yeah, there is some room to improve. And you can't be too satisfied with, the truth is, up front, do they have, they hope Kane turns into it. But do they have that one guy? No, they don't. So hopefully the number seven last year was Jeff Skinner.
Well, that turned out pretty good for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right? And again, in this piece, they're about four to six players away. A couple of good draft picks, a couple of signing the free agents, maybe a trade or two, and then you're away from really competing.
There's an awful lot. We touched on earlier on about what's going to need to get done. You got the Board of Governors meeting on the 21st, draft 3 days after that, free agency starting on July 1st. There's a lot to get done in a short amount of time. Are we going to be able to get the pieces that we need in place to make a move, say, on July 1st as far as getting an unrestricted free agent?
Well, that question, I'd like to know, because I don't know.
You
who's
don't know
in charge?
What the brain trust is right now. Is the brain trust, True North people? Is the brain
I
trust?
I assume,
Rick
Drew, the scouts in Atlanta will be in charge of the draft, because how else do you do it, really? You haven't been pro scouting, unless they've known for a long time. And then you probably replace the general manager. But at the same time, he's got to have somebody who's been in tune with the National Hockey League.
Well, I know, I've had an opportunity to talk to Craig Heisinger every single week for Sports Radio.
That's right, yeah.
Clips. And, you guys sound like best buddies.
Yeah, I like Zinger. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Zinger,
he is.
I mean, Zinger found
Burrows?
Burrows. Alex
right.
Burrows.
Yeah.
I mean, he was languishing in the East Coast Hockey League before Zinger gave him an opportunity. Zinger found Rick Rippon. And these are all guys who went undrafted.
Yeah.
These are guys that Zinger has been forced into a position where he's had to make the most of what's been given to him. In any given season over the past couple of years, he's had to draft 50 different people in antlers for the Moose team. Now, if you can imagine, have the ability to go and scout out players, which Zinger is very good at.
Yes, that's right.
He's got a great eye for talent.
He's got an incredible eye for talent, and not to have to worry about, okay, this guy's real good, but is there a chance that he's going to get drafted by the NHL? Is Vancouver going to have their sights on him, and I'm going to be able to use him in my program? Zinger is really, really good at scouting, and if you tell me that Zinger hasn't been preparing, I know for a fact he was at Memorial Cup.
Sure.
I know for a fact he was at the Frozen Four checking out the collegiate players there. Zinger's been doing his scouting, and I'm sure he's had it in the back of his mind that he might be scouting for an NHL
team. From the start of today, we've said that True North has done their homework and been doing their due diligence like nobody else. There's no reason to believe that doesn't also mean they're doing their homework and their due diligence on the on-ice matters as well. I mean, I know for one...
Let's talk to the fact that maybe they're waiting for Vancouver to bust me over. Maybe they're somebody over for one of those two teams.
Well, that's
this is
always
the thing,
a possibility.
Zinger, as Jay pointed out, and absolutely accurate with everything he said, the scouting, and I tell you another thing, Zinger, in terms of personality management, seems to be very, very, very good at that. The one big difference between the National Hockey League and the NHL, there's a number of significant factors, but the biggest difference in today's game, the cap.
Yep.
He needs a cap specialist in there, because there's no cap to deal with at that level and to that extent in the AHL. And so that, and obviously with the NHL, you have a relationship with the cap, etc., but in reality, that is the biggest difference. So he's going to have to bring in a specialist, if not two, to help him deal with that. And I bet you he'll, you know, put help bring in people around him, because ego's not going to get in the way. Bring in people around him who can help him. But Jay's exactly right. I mean, he can scout, personalities, management. He has experience. He has a relationship with the ownership. A lot of positives to look forward to. And I think he's going to be the GM. I mean, that's, I don't know if Jay agrees or not. We're speculating. But I think if he's on the GM, he'll be a, as Mark Chipman said today, a significant part of the management team moving forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It could be he picks a GM. It
right.
could be
right. I think the president or director of hockey ops.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Zinger's choice. Because like we've said about True North, they're an incredibly loyal group of people, and Zinger has served faithfully. I mean, going back to the Jets days.
I mean, the former equipment manager.
Yeah, from what a great story.
It is
Isn't it a great story. It's as good as it gets in terms of
the
story.
There's him. I mean. Yeah, it's what a fabulous story, you know, about never giving up on your dreams and everything else and paying your dues and working your way through an organization and learning the game. I mean, it's a Hollywood story in some respects. That
doing the cup, it's a Hollywood story. Let's hope it's a Hollywood story.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. That's the one of the favorite team names. Oh, they should name Winnipeg Victorias again, so that's because they already have two cups. Yeah, I thought that was a good idea that we heard. But, I mean, I know that I think most fans in this city, most hockey fans in this city, would be quite comfortable if they announced, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or whenever, here's our guy in charge of the hockey operations. His name is Craig Heisinger. He's in charge. We're going to sit back and let him do his thing.
When do you guys think they make that decision? Because
it has to be soon.
They have to get that in place before the draft, would they not?
Well, I'll tell you what. If they get their 13th
right
in place by Sunday.
Yeah.
Then I think the week after is spent on hockey ops.
Is that the next logical move for the organization? They worry about the drive to 13 at drive to 13.com, and then as soon as that's all said and done, they worry about
certain
the
people
ops.
Worry about drive to 13. Certain worry about hockey ops. I mean, you are, regardless of how much work you've been doing, you are behind a regular National Hockey League franchise, as far as I can tell. So you have to be working day and night right now to be able to get ready for the draft. Get ready for free agency. I mean, there's a lot of analysis that goes into it. Restricted free agents. Are teams out there able to make offer sheets on your restricted free agents? Can you match the offers? What does that entail? Remember,
eligible on July 1st.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things about RFAs is not every team can make an offer on your contender sheet, because you have to have your own draft picks, specific draft picks. So if you're making an offer sheet that would give up 2 second-round picks, they have to be your own team's second-round picks. They can't be acquired in trades. So sometimes you see teams trade back for their own picks. So you have to be aware of which teams can do that, what a team's cap flexibility is, and which teams are dangerous. That determines how quickly you move on things. If you're not worried about a guy getting signed, maybe you push him back in terms of priority on July 1st. So many factors that go into it running a National Hockey League franchise. They have to get started, probably tonight.
Do you think people test us right away? I mean, everybody knows about Bobby Carr trying to get Ryan Kessler a few years ago with the RFA.
I think they do.
You think they do?
Yeah.
So they go after Ladd is what you're gonna.
Well, not necessarily that, but you're gonna try and pawn off players you wonder if they've seen enough of. You're gonna try and maybe you do, but RFA. Maybe, I mean, look at last year when Dustin signed Nicholas Chalmerson to an offer sheet. The only reason he did that, I mean, he liked Chalmerson as a player. The only reason he did that is because he wanted Chicago to be in a worse cap situation and knew they'd probably match. It's not above certain GMs.
Nor should it be.
Well within the rules.
Yeah.
And it's a smart play. I think it's a completely smart play to do that. To try and the point is to win the game. Play to win the game, to quote Herm Edwards. I mean, so at 100%, you try and sign somebody if you think you can hurt your opponent while helping your own team. Nothing untoward about it whatsoever. I do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and sign you away from Andrea on the morning show. See if she can match the RFA contract I'm going to put in for you.
Andrea's going to be locked in.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was worth a shot. I thought, you haven't even heard my pitch. You haven't even heard what I'm going to offer you. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. What can I say? Guys, let's take our final break before we wrap it up here from Tavern United. It's been a long day. It's been a great day.
come back for one final segment. We'll wrap it up, put a nice bow on it. The NHL's back in Winnipeg. You stay with us here on Sports Radio 1290, special presentation on Fab 94.3. Welcome back to Tavern United downtown, next to the MTS Center in Winnipeg. An impromptu version of O Canada just went through the bar here. A fabulous rendition, if I must say so myself. I think we have a bar full of Pavarottis and Domingos and whoever the third guy was.
Yeah, the third guy. What's his name again?
What was that third guy's name?
Oh, it's you.
It's you. Yeah.
The old Seinfeld routine. There's a chance of Go Jets Go throughout the night here.
Pretty sure Ezzy just got blocked at the door from coming in.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
So Ezzy's been banned?
He's back in.
Okay.
He's back.
One final segment here on this, what is it, a Tuesday night?
I think it's Tuesday.
It could be Thursday now.
I have no idea anymore.
One final segment on this Tuesday night here from Tavern United. You're listening to the illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Woo! This place is exploding, Drew! This is insane! Hi, Drew.
Hi, Ezzy. Are you done?
Oh, God.
Okay, and that was Ezzy. He's back, obviously, as you can tell. One final segment here of the illegal Curve
Hockey
Show.
He's done me all right.
Yeah. On Sports Radio 1290. Being broadcast live on our sister station, Fab 94.3. You know, let's try and wrap up this entire day. It's hard to believe that it was, you know, 9 hours ago that we took to air, that our dream became a reality, that the NHL returned to Winnipeg. You know, throughout the day, has it really sunk in yet? Has it really become a reality that today has actually happened?
No, I think you're in the point of it's just so surreal. It hasn't yet set in. And maybe take a couple of days for this to set in, for this to become real. I mean, come on, guys. We're in this euphoric state right now.
You know, I've never woken up so early in the morning and been so excited to go shower, to go get dressed, to go to work. I was, you know, at the computer refreshing Twitter, TSN, Winnipeg Beat Press all day. I know the point where I think it'll become real is maybe the draft when we pick players, maybe free agency when we can sign players, you know, when you get into exhibition games. But it won't be extremely real until, obviously, the puck drops at the first game. I think that's when it's really going to set in for everyone. Everything else is, you know, just gravy.
Let me ask this question. Before that first game, the first regular season game, the first game that matters, is there going to be an exhibition game here? It's sort of weird. Like, you're not going to get geeked up for that exhibition game, and you're going to save it all for that regular season game.
Yeah, I thought about that before, Drew.
It's sort of an interesting dichotomy, because it's the first time you've seen our team back on the ice.
He proposed to not have it there, but at the same time, the truth is you need the money, and you need the team to get accustomed to the building. You need the team to there's so many reasons why you need to play him. So, yeah, it's going to be weird, but I think teams will save it up. I mean, they do it in every other sport.
Richie, I think the simple fact of the matter is that exhibition game will be nice because it'll be a appetizer for the regular season game, but it'll be pretty much like a Sunday skate, or for those who remember when the Winnipeg Jets used to play at River Heights Community Center, it'll be somewhat like that. But I think that we play in that first NHL game, that will be certainly the barometer for how exciting the rest of the season is going to be, because we're expecting that building beside us, that glorious MTS Center, to be sold out 41 times next year.
They're already starting. Why even wait for the chant?
Another Go Jets Go chant is coming up here at Tavern United. Somebody seems to have brought a bongo in or something.
That's right. A hand drum.
Hand drum, is that what it is?
I mean, the first game isn't until October. We're in the end of May. And you wouldn't know it.
No. But, I mean, the fever pitch is only going to grow.
Like the Stanley Cup.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow avoid playing a game at the MTS Center in the exhibition season.
That's what my point was. Maybe play them in Brandon. Maybe the
go to Brandon. Go to Selkirk. Play a game at the MTS Iceplex. You know, open the doors for – make it a free game for people to attend. Something to sort of save your bullets for that excitement of the first regular season
maybe
game. I mean, I don't know if they will. I'm just speculating, of course, at this point. But there'd be something very, you know, appropriate about that, I think. You know, lots of people still sending us messages on Twitter saying the season tickets are more expensive than in other NHL cities. I don't think that matters. It's what the market you're in will afford.
That's all. I mean, they being True North Sports and Entertainment, have done their market research. They know, how much people will pay, and that's why they structured the ticket prices as they did. I'm confident, and I think everybody around this table is confident, that they will sell those tickets quite quickly. The hand drum has now moved behind us.
Yes.
The passion is not only evident, but it is loud and in our ears.
And it's moving, exactly. It's moving in the right direction. You know, that's one thing I don't think we had before now, is the hand drum that is just adding to the dynamic.
How excited are you guys, though, to talk about the draft? And how excited are you guys to talk about the top 10 picks in the draft? Okay. Oh, we have him here personally.
Yeah, the hand drum guy is coming by the table.
Hey now.
Talking to Howard Chuck jersey.
Yeah, you know, one thing we haven't brought up yet that you know, it's really important to me is, you know, I'm someone who plays a lot of video games and play to Xbox. We're going to play NHL. You know, I cannot wait until NHL 12 when there's a Winnipeg franchise and I can just rock the Winnipeg franchise every time.
In your Jets jersey.
Well, maybe while playing my basement in my Jets jersey. That's really exciting. I remember Rich, we used to play NHL 96, 95.
Oh, yeah. Always
the Jets. That
we had a huge tournament. We were at Cap. We had a huge tournament. And the first pick is always the Jets. I mean, everything else is second fiddle.
Yeah.
You want to be Slaney. You want to be Zamnov. You want to be Kachuk.
And I'm sure it has to do with it. There was not a girlfriend anywhere to be seen around this table at that point in time. That you're saying that, but
fair enough, Drew.
Thank you. You know, I'm just gonna start that. You know, it's really what it's boiled down to. It's all the little things that you don't really think of. You know, like Miss said, avid video game players who weren't able to go play and be the Jets. There's, you know, it's a small thing.
Kids,
it doesn't matter.
Kids and adults, like people, you know, from the age of like 10 to like 30.
Yeah,
35. Think about it now. We grew up playing those. We remember that. We want people now, kids now, to do that and remember that in 20 years.
You know, I've already started playing as a Thrashers. You know, I spoke to Jay over here, and he's excited. He started his own franchise as a Thrashers Moose.
Who's your favorite team?
My team?
Favorite player, I mean.
Favorite player? You know, I'm trying to think what jersey is going to be most prominent at MTS Center next year. Yeah. And I think the one guy, I'm switching between Bufflin or Kane. I really can't decide.
I would tend to agree. Bufflin or Kane. Eventually, probably Bogosian.
Really? You think Bogosian?
Yeah. Lad.
I think Enstrom is... I agree what you said about him being, like, the silent guy. I think he'll be quietly one of the best players out there.
Good puck mover. Really good skater. Smart player. Not the biggest. Not the most physical. But he does the right thing. Plays the game the right way.
How do you think they should treat retired jerseys?
Good question.
You know, the Jets had retired a number of jerseys.
Keep him retired.
Keep him retired?
I think so.
So Thomas Steen's 25?
Keep it retired.
Done.
Do you retire any additional jerseys? You know, do you retire Tepo's number 27?
Something to consider?
No, there's a lot of talk on...
What about Dale Hawerchuk's number 10?
I think
the Coyotes retired it in the most surreal ceremony
it should be.
That ever occurred.
9 years of his life and more than a point a game. I mean, to many playoff games and battles against Calgary Edmonton, I think so. I think so, Drew.
So, I mean, I think...
Remember that Hawerchuk played... for St. Louis leave the year that the Jets were eliminated. I mean, left Winnipeg. Couldn't even have retired his jersey.
That's right. But it is sort of an odd situation. Like, what history do you adopt? What history do you bring over? You know, do you take the Jets history from 79 to 96?
I think so. I think you have to. What's Phoenix doing with it?
I don't
know what's going on there.
Well, Phoenix isn't doing anything with it. We know that. We know that.
Why did they retire Hawerchuk's jersey, by the way, as an aside?
To get people to go to the arena.
Did anybody go to that game any extra?
Probably not, but I guess maybe they thought that people would go because of that.
Drew, I think as far as retiring players' jerseys, as far as that goes, that'll depend on if the team's called the Jets. I really believe that. If he's going to be called the Manitoba Bumblebees or whatever, any name aside from the Jets, I don't think you can start retiring former Winnipeg Jets jerseys. That's my opinion. Because then you're kind of dipping into the double dipping, so to speak. So
I think you can do it. It's the city. I think is it the city or is it the franchise?
I guess we'll see. If they keep the name, that'll make a lot easier of a decision for us to make, won't it?
Yeah.
Or for other people to make, for us to talk about.
Like does the city retire the number and everything they did for you, or does the franchise retire it? It didn't make any sense why they retired Hawerchuk's number in Phoenix.
Right. So I don't think we'll be retiring Kovalchuk's number in 10 years. But,
but I mean, you know.
But hey, we can talk about it. Isn't that the best part?
That is the best part. It's a legitimate conversation that we can have.
You know, there was a lot of talk about what to do with the Thrashers franchise. I mean, is Ilya Kovalchuk now the leading scorer of a single season for Thrashers? Or what do we do with, you know, there's a lot of talk about Thrashers bloggers
to retire. Keep the history there.
Yeah, keep it in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Just not take it with us.
No. Bring back our history.
So the most goals scored in a season for the Winnipeg Jets is, or for the new franchise, is Timu Solani?
That's right.
I disagree with that quite.
Well, and the history here, can you just ignore it completely? You may want to change it, but I just don't agree with that. I think there's a history here. You can't ignore that. I don't think you can.
I don't know why you would want to. I think
it's a rookie goal record.
It's something that they happened. It happened in Winnipeg. It matters what city it happened
in. That's right.
It doesn't matter what the last name of the team is. It mattered what city it happened in. And it happened in Winnipeg. And Howardchuk happened in Winnipeg. And everything else happened
in Winnipeg. And Hedberg Nielsen happened in Winnipeg. And, come on, Drew. I Kachuk's 50-goal season at the end there happened in Winnipeg. I think there is too much history there to ignore.
I don't
think that history has been brought to the forefront recently. See how many Jets clips we saw today, guys?
Yeah. I mean, you never...
Pretty cool.
And it's good that you can go back and reflect on those clips.
The Beauty Kachuk goal in Toronto that night. I think that was Hockey Night Canada game, too, actually.
Dave Ellett
in overtime against Bamford and the Edmonton Oilers in game 4 of the 1990 first-round playoffs.
Solani's rookie record-breaking goal. How many times?
Stephane Passé, I believe that was.
Stephane
Passé. 53-54, and he scored the hat-trick.
I remember.
There.
It was a fate.
Breaking the rookie points record against the Leafs in Winnipeg Arena. He sings about Wayne Gretzky's 2,000 points in Winnipeg Arena.
Absolutely.
These things have all happened in Winnipeg Arena or at the Winnipeg franchise. Why take that away? It's too valuable, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, they've been talking about that they might want to change the name because it's cursed, or they want to...
Tell you why. Because there's no such thing as a curse. Either you run the team the right way, and you catch it big so you don't, or you run the team the wrong way, and your team's garbage. I mean, it's no curse. The Red Sox were cursed, were they? Suddenly, they're running the team the right way, spending some money, and they're the best team in baseball every year. It's junk.
I'm not saying I agree, but I'm just saying this is what some of the chatter is, people like to pretend that this is what the...
Curse. No such thing as...
You're playing with fire there, boy.
There isn't. There's no such thing as a curse in terms of the sports.
Yep. It's 8:53. We've been going strong since about 10:30, 11 o'clock this morning. You know, and we're going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes. I just want to, I want to turn it over to you guys, see if you have any final thoughts and reflect on the day and what we've seen from down here. It really doesn't seem like it was that long ago that we said goodbye to this team, and to have it back now.
It was a long time ago.
I know it was a long time ago, but it's still, the memory is vivid, and the pain is still, is still, front and center in your mind. What do you remember from today? What is going to be your indelible memory from today? Remus, I'll start over with you. What's going to jump out at you as being the memory you're going to take away from being down here at Tavern United, as you tell your kids? Yeah, I was on the radio that day broadcasting the return of the Winnipeg Jets.
The one thing I'll take from is when the Jets left is being at the arena for the farewell and seeing probably the biggest wave I've ever seen.
Right.
But from today, I'll take away, waking up and having my phone blow up from you guys, all the text messages, all the excitement, being at work waiting for the announcement, and then everyone, leaving their jobs, everyone leaving class, everyone, leaving whatever's on their mind to watch the announcement and to see everyone's excitement and everyone cheering in the streets. It was unbelievable.
Ezzy, what are you going to take away from today? What's your indelible memory from today?
It's tough, Drew, because we've pretty much been following this for... We've been following this all day, but I think it's just the excitement. I think it would have to be the excitement that's just been around this bar and this entire city throughout the entire day.
Richie, aside people screaming your name, girls screaming your name throughout the whole day.
The reason you go to the games is, we were all taken to the games by our dads when we were younger, right? And that's the reason you get into the game and you get into the sport. So I can't help you, my dad today. They left in 1996. He said that they would be back within 10 years. Not many people thought they'd come back at all at that point. And they ended up being 15 years. And I write about it a little bit tomorrow. But 5 years too late, unfortunately, he wasn't able to see it. But I wonder what he would have thought today.
I think he's pretty happy. I think he's looking down and he's smiling.
Yeah.
He's smiling, and it's a good day. It's a good day everywhere. We're around here. We're sitting around Tavern United. We've had friends, family have come in all day. Richard, your mom came in earlier. In the last 24, 36 hours, it's really been about friends and family. And I think friends and family is almost what Winnipeg is all about. There's a saying that Winnipeg is the hardest place to get people to come to, and it's the hardest place to get people to leave. And I think that's about the spirit that the city has, the friends that you make in Winnipeg, the family that you have in Winnipeg, and the relationships that you develop in Winnipeg. And I think that is what I'm going to take most from Winnipeg, how it's a family atmosphere. I don't know another city that, you know, could have this atmosphere in one place where everybody's smiling, everybody's a brother, everybody's a sister today. And that's what I'm going to take away from this event here down at Tech United. The people who are at Portage in Maine, the people who are at the Forks, the people who are lucky enough to be at the True North, who are at the press conference. It's been hard work for everybody. It's been a lot of days of, you know, saying yes to a bunch of naysayers. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of proving people wrong with numbers and saying, we can do it, we are big enough, this is the city that we want, we can afford this team. And, you know, it's hard to believe that it's come to fruition, and that on May 31st, 2011, this NHL has returned to Winnipeg. And that's something that I don't think we're ever going to forget. We remember where they were when they left, and we can put that memory to our back of our recesses now. We have a better memory front and center that we can take going forward. You know, before we wrap up here tonight, some housekeeping notes, as it were. We are on Fab 94.3. Normally, we're on Sports Radio 1290. After we're done here on Fab 94.3, the best music that you've come to listen and expect on this station will return. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., Hustler and Lawless, a special morning edition of the Hustler and Lawless show. They'll go from 6 until about, I think, 9 or so. Maddie Leibel is going to be on here bridging the gap tomorrow. He's sitting next to me between Hustler and Lawless and the afternoon Goldeyes game. Paul Edmonds down at Shaw Park tomorrow, going to broadcast the Goldeyes. After the baseball game's over, a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Remus, you're going to man the fort on that one with a couple of our friends. Maddie Leibel for one. Dave Manuk from IllegalCurve.com for another. You're going to be on for a couple hours. Hustler and Lawless, 4 to 6. Again tomorrow afternoon, and then back to us again to wrap up the evening tomorrow evening, 6 until 8 or so, until the hockey game sort of gets underway. We're going to be with you, taking you through that on Sports Radio 1290. Thank you to everybody who made this broadcast a possibility. The names are too numerous for me to mention. I'll mention a few. If I forget you, I apologize. My colleagues on the Illegal Curve team, I can't do the show without you. We are a family. We are a brotherhood. We've been doing this for a number of years, and I'm thrilled to say we've been able to do it while the Jets returned. Michael Remus, Ezra Ginsberg, Richard Pollock, Dave Manuk back at IllegalCurve.com headquarters. Matthew Leibel was doing a fabulous job at Sports Radio 1290 throughout the course of the day. Kevin Carney was producing the show and doing a fabulous job like he always does. Andrew Hustler Patterson, Gary Lawless, tremendous job live from the MTS Center and back over here. The cavalcade of guests that they had were just the cream of the crop, the top echelon that you could ever hope for. Chris Brook, program director on Sports Radio 1290.
Hold on one second, Drew. You're forgetting someone.
Who's that?
Yourself.
No, I don't need to mention
me.
I'm okay.
There you go,
Drew.
Absolutely.
Jameson, of course. Adam Wozni was here. Yeah. Dancing Gabe was here. It's really just been everybody and anybody
Adam
associated.
Toy,
Adam
Carney.
Toy, Alex Carney. There you go. Thank you, Richard. You're doing a better job of remembering his name than I do. It's almost 9 o'clock. We're on. This is a special broadcast of Sports Radio 1290 on Fab 94.3. Stay tuned for the best in music. If you want sports, flip over to Sports Radio 1290. Until tomorrow afternoon, we wish you good night and good luck.